Welcome to installment 65 of Sefer Mitzvot in the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue our discussion of Positive Commandment 153 and then continue with the introductory principles that Rambam gives at the beginning of his Sefer Mitzvot, the 11th of the principles, and how to enumerate the 613 commandments. As we have discussed in length over the past few days, the Positive Commandment 153 is to make the determination of the Jewish month and of the leap years, as this was the first commandment given to the Jewish people as a whole before the Exodus from Egypt, that HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Reish Chadashim, that this shall be the first of months for you, meaning the month of Nisan, the month of Passover, when we were released from the bondage in Egypt, this shall be the first one of the month. And Moses was given all the signs upon which conditions and how the beginning of the month can be determined. To briefly review the Rambam statement in Sefer HaMitzvot, this commandment is not given over to every individual, but rather is based on the determination of the Jewish court. A person can not himself see the appearance of the new moon or make a calculation as to when it should appear, and thereby, based on his own understanding, declare the first day of a month. And so, too, in order to determine a leap year, he cannot see that, obviously, Pesach is coming out too soon in the year, and therefore he must add on another month in order to make it a leap year. This determination of the leap year, as well as that of the first day of the month, must be made by a Jewish court, and a court in the land of Israel. Unlike Shabbos, says the Rambam, which can be determined by every individual to count 6 days, and then declare the seventh day the day of Shabbos. This is unlike that commandment that one must wait for the determination of the Jewish court in order to determine the sanctification of the new month. This is an extremely important measure in order to determine that all of the Jewish people are keeping the holidays on the same day. If every individual could determine the beginning of the month and there would not be a central authority, then people would end up keeping all the holidays on different days. Rosh Hashanah, for example, is the first day of the month, and the times of the temple, when the months were determined based on testimony, the court had to wait and see whether the day would turn out to be Rosh Hashanah or not. They had to begin the day in holiness, as the Talmud terms it. They had to refrain from doing any work because of the chance that perhaps this day would turn out to be Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, even if someone saw the moon, and therefore knew in their place that it should be the first day of the month, unless they could travel in time to Jerusalem and tell the court, but together with another valid witness, that the moon had appeared, it would not be the first day of the month. And this, that the Jewish court in Jerusalem must determine the month, explains why it is that we today do not fulfill this commandment. Just like we cannot bring the sacrifices since the temple does not exist, so too, since we do not have a properly qualified court in Israel, we cannot fulfill this commandment. And this is the mistake which has been made historically by the Karaites, the group which rejected the oral teachings of the Torah, and therefore took it upon themselves to determine the new month, the new moon, and the beginning of a month, that they are unaware that this could be done only in the land of Israel and only by a properly qualified court. And even at the times when there were qualified people, such as Rabbi Akiva, then only when times of great difficulty, when there was no alternative, did these sages declare a new moon there by themselves when they were outside the land of Israel. As explained many places in the Talmud, that only when there is not a great scholar in the land of Israel to declare and determine the new moon and the leap year, only then can a scholar, even one with the smicha, the ordination dating back to the days of Moses, from one teacher to another, from teacher to student dating back to Moses, only in such a condition when there was no one qualified in the land of Israel could the month be determined outside of Israel. And this was done only on very rare occasions in Jewish history. And the determination that we make today to determine the new moon, this, says the Rambam, is a very important concept to understand, that we are not ourselves declaring when the new moon is, and therefore when the holidays are. Even though we are able to make certain calculations about when the new moon will appear, we are not relying on our calculation, says the Rambam. Although it will all come out to be the same thing, we could make our calculation and act based upon it. This is not the reasoning behind our observance of the holidays. That really, at the times of Hillel HaNasi, it was seen that the Jewish people would be unable to rely on the determination of the Jewish court in Israel. Therefore, Rabbi Hillel HaNasi determined a calendar which would last for all times until the Messianic age. And therefore, we are relying on his determination. In effect, his court sanctified all of the new moons and all of the leap years for all time until the coming of Mashiach. And therefore, we are relying on his determination that he made in the land of Israel with his Jewish court. And this power is given over to the Jewish court, as the Rambam quotes from the Talmud, this statement in the Chumash, Asher Tikru Esam, that the Jewish court declares the holidays, and is written in such a way that it can be read Atem, that you, the Jewish court, can determine the holidays. Even if should they be making a mistake, and even should they be forced to declare, upon compulsion, to declare a certain day to be the new month, or to declare a leap year, nevertheless, whatever action they make is a binding action. They have the full power, as a properly qualified Jewish court, to make such a declaration. And therefore, since they have complete power to do so, and they are the only ones that have the power to do so, we are unable to make such a determination. And any calculations we make are only to know what it was that Hillel HaNasi and his court determined. And or a Gili Mil says that Rambam terms it, just to reveal, to show us, to make a determination of what it is that they already calculated. And another point that Rambam adds here, as Achsam Sefer explains that Rambam's intention, that this applies only, that even the calculations we make, which are not binding, which are only to determine what it was that was done back at the times when the Jewish court did make their calculation, this is only can be done as long as there are Jews still living in the land of Israel. And this will always be, says the Rambam, as we have been promised through our prophets, that Hashem will never cut off the Jewish people from the land of Israel. Meaning, says the Rambam, that we will never be cut off as a nation. There will always be Jews living there. If, theoretically, Hashem would not have given this promise, and there would be not Jews living in the land of Israel, then we would not be able to make our calculations even, in order to determine what Hillel HaNasi said for all generations. Since the Torah says, Ki Mitzian Tetzu Seiro Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that the Torah emanates from Israel and from the city of Jerusalem, we must rely on the existence of Jews there in order to figure out when the new month and the leap year falls out. However, we do not have to worry about this, since God has promised us that there will always be Jews existing there. Therefore, we can make our calculations and rely upon them as a valid determinant of what it was that Hillel HaNasi and his court figured out for our generation. The Rambam gives a few hints from the Chumash as to various laws relating to our determination of the new moon and the leap year. For example, the verse says, L'mayada, that you must figure out the leap year in the proper season. L'mayada also means in the holiday, and this teaches us that the leap year, the leap month, the 13th month, must be placed immediately before the mayad, before the holiday, referring to the holiday of Pesach. Therefore, the 13th month is placed in Adar Sheni, a second month of Adar, falling out right before Nisan, the month of Pesach. And a whole month must be added, as the verse says, L'chad she'ashana, that the year consists of months. Therefore, we cannot merely add on a day in order to even out the lunar cycle with the solar cycle. We must add on an entire month. So too, the verse, when it comes to adding on, figuring out the number of days in a month, the verse says, Chedesh Yomim, a month of days. And although the lunar month falls out to be 29 days with a fraction of a day, we cannot determine the month as having a fraction of days. The month has either 29 or 30 days, in order to figure out to the calendar, and it goes in such a cycle in order that the leftover time period should even out. So too the verse says, Miyomim Yomima, from day to day, meaning that this declaration must be made only during the daytime. And the verse says, V'chedesh ha'aviv, that Passover must fall out in the times of ripening of the grain, meaning that we cannot go exclusively by a lunar cycle. Since the lunar year is approximately 11 days shorter than the solar year, through going on a lunar cycle, we would eventually shorten the year and eventually keep moving back the holidays until Passover would fall out in the winter. Since the verse says it must fall out b'chedesh ha'aviv, the month of ripening in the spring, therefore we must even out the solar years with the lunar year with the solar year by adding on another month during the leap year. The details are discussed in the first chapter of Sanhedrin and tractates Rosh Hashanah and Brachas. To continue now with the Rambam's 11th principle of how to determine the 613 commandments, the Rambam says that many mitzvahs have subcategories, different parts of the mitzvah. We must count the idea of what the mitzvah is rather than the component parts of the mitzvah. For example, we have a commandment to take the four species on the holiday of Sukkot. We cannot count the esrog and the lulav and the myrtle leaves and the willow each as a separate mitzvah, although it says in the Torah explicitly to take all four. Since the commandment is to unite them together and shake them all together as one unit, and as the verse says, to rejoice before Hashem, this rejoicing is fulfilled by taking all of the four kinds. Therefore, they are counted as one mitzvah, not four. So too, in the purification process of the Matzeda, the so-called leopard, we need two birds, some cedar wood, hyssop, some red dyed thread, some water from a well, and a clay vessel. This is not counted as six separate mitzvahs, although all six are necessary for its purification. There is one commandment of purification of the Matzeda, and it includes the shaving which he must do. This is all part of his purification process, and therefore is counted as one mitzvah. So too, the Matzeda must warn other people that he is impure. He must wear torn clothing, and his hair must be allowed to grow. And so too, he must cover his face up to the lip. And he must call out to people, Tomei, Tomei, let people know he is impure. These are not, again, four separate steps, four separate mitzvahs. Rather, each one is part of the total mitzvah of allowing people to know that he is impure so that they should not contact him and themselves become impure. We might be able to determine from the principle of equals. We have in the Torah statements that some commandments cannot be fulfilled unless all of its components are observed. For example, we find by the four species that if you are lacking one of these four species, the entire mitzvah is not being fulfilled. And so too with the purification of the Matzeda, if one component is missing, the commandment is not being fulfilled. And so too in the sign which the Matzeda must give to other people, all of its components must be fulfilled. The Lechem Aponim, another example that Rambam brings, must be offered together with its incense, otherwise it is invalid. However, the converse point, when the Talmud says that one mitzvah does not prevent the other one from being fulfilled, this is a difficult point to determine here. For the example that Rambam gives is in tzitzis, that we have the white thread of the tzitzis and the tchelis, the blue thread. And the Torah tells us that one does not prevent the other one from being fulfilled. If you don't have the blue thread, you can still fulfill it with the white thread. And if you don't have the white, you can fulfill it with the blue. This would seem to imply that it counts as two separate mitzvahs, since one does not prevent the other from being fulfilled. However, the Rambam says we would think so. However, the Mechilta that Rabbi Yishmael says differently. The verse says, V'hoyo lachem letzitzis. Regarding both of them, it says it should be the mitzvah of tzitzis, meaning that it counts as only one mitzvah, as said explicitly there in the Mechilta. Therefore, although they can be performed independently, nevertheless, they count as one mitzvah in order to fulfill the goal expressed in the Torah, in order to remember all the mitzvahs of Hashem. This is fulfilled by having the tzitzit, whether blue thread or white thread. Therefore, although it would seem to imply that they are separate mitzvahs, since we are told explicitly that they are one mitzvah, in this case, although they could be fulfilled independent of one another, they nevertheless count as one mitzvah. Therefore, you must always look at the inyan, the idea, the concept, what is accomplished by the mitzvah, and therefore see whether it counts as one or two, as the Rambam discussed in his ninth principle. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.